Checking on the Arts is made possible by the Memphis Symphony Orchestra. Opening this Sunday and running through October 14th at the Dixon Gallery and Gardens, Double Vision, Bryn and Dale Baucom, a retrospective in clay. Bryn and Dale Baucom, of course, very, very well-known ceramic artists here in the Mid-South for many, many years, and it's going to be exciting to see this exhibition of so much of their work in one place. And they have both joined me today. Welcome. Thanks so much for coming in.
Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
This is a story that has been going on for a long time. You actually both met back at what was the old Academy of Art, now, of course, mm-hmm. Memphis College of Art. Tell us a little bit about how you got together and how you started to work together.
Well, first of all, I have an agenda. I have one thing to say. I wanted to wish WKNO a happy 40th anniversary. It's also our 40th anniversary, and I've been wanting an opportunity to express our delight that we've been together, for all of us together, for 40 years.
I want to say that WKNO is responsible in many ways for the rhythm of our life, because the music in our studios bounces off the wall daily. You cannot imagine how familiar we are with everything at WKNO. And our lives would be so dreary without it. I mean, it's just fantastic. 40 years ago when we started, I suppose we knew not so much about classical music, but now it's just fantastic what you can accumulate by not actually studying it, but absorbing it. So thank you.
Well, thank you. That's very, very nice. And I'm glad that we can provide some inspiration for your artwork also. So back to your beginnings. Now, you met at the College of Art, Memphis Art Academy at that time.
Yes.
And you were working in different mediums at the time.
Yes. I was a photographer, and Dale was a potter, and we had seen each other at the school, but were very busy pursuing our majors. So
sure.
We ended up meeting in Nashville at the first Tennessee Art Craft Association Fair, and we just took up with each other right then, and that was in May, and we got married the next November. So, and we've been collaborating one way or another ever since. At first it was, you know, we were in different areas, but when our second child was born, we had a meeting, the two of us. What do we do? We can't do two different things mm-hmm. and not go work for somebody. So, clay is what we chose. So that's what we've done for the last, well, Dale was already doing it for 10 years at that point, and we've been both working in the same studio for 30 years.
Wow, that's pretty impressive, just on its own, that you can work together with someone for that long. Dale, now why clay? What attracts you to that medium? What makes that what you want to work in?
Why clay? I look at clay, when I look at a piece of clay, I know that it's clay, but it is not because it's clay that attracts me, but because it's a visual media. I started out in painting and printmaking, and the clay was just an extension of that. There's a lot of calligraphic line, a lot of color, a lot of sculptural form, so those are the things that attract me. But of course, the clay, something about the tactile quality of the clay is just intoxicating. I can't get enough of it. We overwork every day. We arrive early, we stay late, and we look at each other and say, we must be insane working so hard. Why are we doing this? Well, the fact is, we just can't help it.
I think one of the great things about working in clay is that you literally start with something that looks like nothing, just a blob of earth, essentially, and then you can create something incredibly out of that just from working it with your hands. I think that has to be very attractive.
It is. The growth process is extremely stimulating, and the developing of a new shape is just recently we have a shape that our is a vase, and it looks like two vases twisted together.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular piece, I paid close attention to it. It wasn't something that I drew out ahead of time, but it's something that just kind of grew in front of me on the work table. There was a little bitty one that I made, and about 6 months later I made another one, and suddenly they twisted and they developed these mouths on the top that looked like a catfish smiling, if there is such a thing. And I don't know where it came from, but I saw it happening, and it was just really a jarring experience in a good way. It was just delightful. Having looked at so many pieces being formed, I'm able to notice things now that I wouldn't quite pick up on. It's like, where does it come from? I don't know, but this one sure was fun to watch develop.
Bryn, when you made that decision that you were going to work together and work in ceramics, how did that happen? I mean, you were coming in after Dale had been doing this for 10 years. Did you have to sort of figure out who was going to do what, and was there a division of labor somehow that you had to work out?
What we did is I just moved from photography to clay. And I did what I do in clay. Dale was apprenticed me into the technical things. He's still the one who took Peter Sonjan's chemistry course. And that's wonderful. But after I'd been doing it for several years, I started working in textures and contrasts and things. Mine's more of a surface feel. And after a couple of years, we were back at that same crafts fair, or a couple of years after I started with clay, and somebody walked up and said, "Who's the photographer?" So apparently it just moved in. And so I moved in. Dale was very generous and patient, and he wanted it to work too. So, and early on we would threaten each other that you're going to have to go work at Zaire. No, you're going to have to go work at Zaire. And we're both so stubborn, you know. Here we are, yeah. Just stubbornly moving forward.
Now, do you do separate pieces? Do you do one person works on one part, one person works on another?
We work in the same room together on a wonderful day. We're both working. We have WKNO on, and I'm at my slab roller. Dale's at the wheel, there's another slab roller in the other room, and we work pretty much separately. Mm-hmm. When it comes glaze time, we begin to mix it up a little bit. But the person who made the piece is ultimately in charge of what happens at the end. So that's when the negotiation begins, is when we start finishing things.
We're talking about Double Vision, a retrospective in clay with Bryn and Dale Baucom. It opens this Sunday. There is an opening lecture at 2 p.m. at the Dixon Gallery and Gardens. The show runs through October 14th. One of the things about your pieces that make them very recognizable among potters here in the Mid-South and certainly anywhere is your surface treatments. And of course, this is one of the things about pottery is its form and its surface. And the things that you do, I cannot look at almost anything and tell if it's one of your pieces. And a lot of it is because you go to a lot of effort to include natural elements, leaves, and even if they're not actual and natural, but designs like cherries, fruit, that sort of thing. Where did this vision come from?
From our backyard, and it is very much akin to the kind of experience that Monet had in his garden.
Sure.
We are influenced so much by nature. We have brush marks and stamps and patterns that we made that years later we discovered that they were actually images in our yard because we were looking at them and absorbing it, but we hadn't focused on that. We had the shock of our life a few years ago. We got up one morning and the shadow of a pepper vine plant was on our window that had rice paper covering it, and there were some burglar bars which framed, unfortunately, framed it up like panels. And we had been developing this line of work, and there it was displayed right there. And we had not, I swear to you, noticed that until then. And it was just really wonderful and eerie. But in the garden, there are all of these things going on. The natural arc of the way a plant stem grows and so forth, it's just nature is the most wonderful art teacher. It just encompasses everything.
Now, I've always wondered exactly how you do this, because a lot of these things, that the ginkgo leaves, especially in the fern leaves, do you use actual leaves to get those patterns?
I'm the one that needed to do this. Dale helped me figure it out, and so we both use it now after time has gone on. I wanted the contrast that I spoke of before. Mm-hmm. The clay is gray, and there's a porcelain slip, which is a thin white clay that we put. We press the leaf into the gray clay, brush the porcelain slip on top. When it dries just right, pull it out with a needle point. It's magic. Photography was magic to me. This is magic. I like magic. And then with the translucent glaze, or transparent, I guess, you can see the contrast of mm-hmm. the light and dark. I was spoiled with black and white silver print photography. It just needed to be in clay. So Dale liked it too. So we've taken it and run, you know, and his brushwork works great with it. Mm-hmm. It is just, that isn't all. We still do textures and ash glazes and all different kinds of glaze combinations. But that has become something that's very satisfying. And the pepper vine, which we accidentally brought back from Hardy, Arkansas on Spring River, we thought it was trumpet vine. We brought it back, and now it grows all over our studio. And
it almost looks like a plant itself. It's out of control, which is kind of an interesting thing.
But it's good on a hot or rainy day. I can just reach out the door and...
mm-hmm. Nice.
Go with it.
Another factor in surface treatment is, and you mentioned this briefly, the brushwork, this very Oriental style brushwork. Now, where did that come from?
Well, from years of just doing it over and over again. I think we were, as you had said earlier, from the Art Academy, which is being called the Golden Age. We were there with Ted Fairs and Burton Callicutt and Dorothy Sturm, to name three mm-hmm. massive personalities that had profound influences on us. And I remember showing Dorothy Sturm and Ted all kinds of things. And so that influence is there today. It's just... the rules of art are built on emotional responses and love and an outpouring. And I don't know where all of this comes from, but it is just a wonderful delight to dance with it. And I never sat down and tried to copy an Oriental mark or anything like that. These are lines that have developed from getting to know the brushes, and also the fact that I make most of my brushes, so, and they're made in such a way where you can't really master them. They want to be out of control, askew just a bit, so it's always a challenge. If you get too good with a particular tool, it has a tendency to get dull, so it keeps you on your toes. You don't know what to expect, and you have to adjust to what might be a slip and could destroy the piece, but it also could be a great gift to discover something else.
You guys have been doing this, as we have mentioned several times, for a long time now. You've sold a lot of pieces over the years to many folks all over the place. And I know that you had to go around and ask to get some of these back for this exhibition. is this the first time that you've really done an actual museum-style exhibition?
We've done one before, just the two of us. It was at Christian Brothers.
Oh, I think I remember that.
Robert mm-hmm. Wuerl organized it. We learned a lot from him, as anybody who talks with him does.
Oh, yes.
He's a true educator and a friend. So we did that show, and then the Dixon show, having a curator, mm-hmm. We were more hands-on with the other one. This one we've been sort of resource.
Which is nice, actually.
It's very nice. It's just on a bigger scale, and
sure.
This reminds me of something I wanted to mention, was it's at the beginning, it was kind of a big thing, you know, kind of scary. And I thought, well, I'm going to learn the inside of putting together an exhibit in a museum. I had never been inside, truly inside before.
Sure.
And we have been welcomed by everybody at the Dixon, and we feel like we're staff, but not really. They've been great to work with.
Yeah.
Julie Perotti was a curator, and Kevin Sharp, it was Kevin's vision in the beginning, so we're mighty happy with that. And how we got to know the Dixon so well was in February, the last weekend in February, Nancy Robertson, who runs the gift store there, organizes a group of 10 potters to have a little show and sale. And we've done that for quite a while now. So we feel pretty comfy there, which is nice.
Well, I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see all of this great stuff in one place. And I will point out that there's a great catalog that Julie Perotti put together also for this with pictures of many of these wonderful pieces. It opens on this Sunday, July 29th at 2 p.m. with an opening lecture. Runs through Sunday, October 14th at the Dixon Gallery and Gardens. Before we go, I do want to mention that you've got a studio show coming up later on in August 24th, 25th, and 26th. And that's at your studio.
Yes.
Correct. And we're excited about that. We have been distracted a little bit from the opening coming up. I mean, it's a good thing because we're working so hard on pieces that we'll have in our studio show. And it's hard not to be excited, and we are. This show at the Dixon, one thing that's a little different about it from all other shows that we've had is it stretches so far back into the past.
Yeah.
And that is delightful. And on the CBU show, we picked out at that point just current work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This one has from the beginning all the way, and there's a pretty massive surprise in this show. We've got work that we're putting in this show that hasn't been seen by anybody, that we have been sitting on for 3 years, and a clue is massive, and it's a secret.
All right, no spoilers here, so you have to go and see. Double Vision, Brennan Dale Baucom, a retrospective in clay, opening this Sunday at the Dixon, running through October 14th. Check Dixon.org or your website, which is baucompottery.com. Brennan Dale Baucom, so good to see you both again. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Daryl. Good pleasure. To see you.